ॐ सहनावतु सहनौनक्तु सहवीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहैः। ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्ति। ॐ समस्तजनकल्याणे निरतं करुणामयं नमामि चिन्मयं देवं सद्गुरुं ब्रह्मविद्वरं सद्गुरुं ब्रह्मविद्वरम्। ॐ पार्थाय प्रतिबोधितां भगवता नारायणेन स्वयं व्यासेन ग्रथितां पुराणमुनिना मध्ये महाभारतम् अद्वैतामृतवर्षिणी भगवती अष्टादशाध्यायिनी अम्ब त्वामनुसन्दधामि भगवद्गीते भवद्वेषिणी यं ब्रह्मा वरुणेन्द्ररुद्रमरुता स्तुन्वन्ति दिव्यैस्तवैः वेदैः साङ्गपदक्रमोपनिषदैः गायन्ति यं सामगा ध्यानावस्थिततद्गतेन मनसा पश्यन्ति यं योगिनः यस्यान्तं न विदुत्सुरासुरगण देवाय तस्मै नमः देवाय तस्मै नमः। ॐ श्री गणेशाय नमः। ॐ श्री सरस्वत्यै नमः। ॐ श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः। हरिओम। सो आफ्टर हैविंग कंप्लीटेड द टीचिंग मेन टीचिंग ऑफ द भगवद गीता बेसिकली द इंस्ट्रक्शंस हैव ऑल बीन गिवन द 18 चैप्टर्स आर प्रीटी मच फिनिश्ड। भगवान इज गिविंग सम कंक्लूडिंग रिमार्क्स व्हिच वी विल लिसन टू टुडे एंड देन next time. Also, in the end of the 18th chapter, we hear Sanjay's comments. Sanjay, who had listened to the whole Bhagavad Gita sitting in the palace of Dhritarashtra, had been given Divya Drishti. So what was his reaction to this beautiful Gita? So that's how it will end. And then we will start the first chapter again. With Gita Dhyanam. So Bhagwan, last week we had only one shloka where Bhagwan said that after finishing this teaching, he said this teaching should not be given idam te na tapaskaya na bhaktaya katachana na cha shushrushave vacham na cha mam yobhya suyati. So this teaching should not be given to people who do not have austerity, self-control, do not have bhakti, do not have karma yoga service, do not have the desire to listen, or who criticize either the Lord or the teacher. So all the paths are covered. That it does not mean that this teaching should be restricted. What it means is that for me to benefit from this teaching, I have to have these qualities. I have to do some karma yoga service, some bhakti yoga, love for Lord, listen, which is jnana yoga. So all that I should do. And na abhyasuyate, I should not criticize either the guru or Bhagwan. Shankaracharya ji says, no matter how many good qualities you have, you may be very brilliant, you may be very doing a lot of service and all that. But if you do not have love and respect for Guru and God, this knowledge will not benefit you. So that's what, so if I want need to benefit from this knowledge, these are the qualities I should develop. Those are just the opening prayers, so that we won't be using those, only in the beginning of the class. So today we'll do shloka number 69, chapter 18, shloka 69. And there Bhagwan talks about who are the ones that he loves the most. See, we say, I love Bhagwan, but whom does Bhagwan love? That we will hear today. And let us see if we fit in any of those categories. So we'll do in 68. Chapter 18, shloka 68. Ya imam paramam guhyam. Madhakteshwabhidhasyati. Bhaktim mai param kritva. Mame vaishyatya samshayah. Ya imam paramam guhyam. Together. Ya imam paramam guhyam. Madhakteshva vidhasyati. Bhaktim mai param kritva. Mame vaishyatya samshayah. So here Bhagwan is praising the teacher, one who gives this knowledge to my devotees. So here Pujya Gurudev is the example from whom is our Param Guru, and from him we have obtained this knowledge. So the teacher of this knowledge is being praised. Whoever shares this Bhagavad Gita of mine with my devotees. So Bhagwan is saying, Ya imam paramam guhyam. This imam, this yaha means whoever that person may be who shares this knowledge, paramam guhyam, this supreme knowledge which is normally very difficult to understand because it is in Sanskrit and the teachings are subtle. So if somebody can understand and then make this understandable, so which was a secret to all of us, we have gratitude to Pujya Gurudev who brought this knowledge to us, translated into English and made it simple. And then his other students, Swami Tejomayananda ji, Ishwarananda ji, all of those who studied from Gurudev and have given this knowledge to us. So he says, whoever gives this knowledge of mine to my devotees, madbhakteshu abhidhasyati, to my devotees, to my bhaktas, abhidhasyati means teaches. Explains. What does he do? He or she, it can be he or she, whoever is a teacher. Bhaktim mai param kritva. Bhaktim mai, he becomes my supreme devotee. He is the one that is my greatest devotee. And mam eva aishyati. He will reach me alone. Asamshaya, without doubt. So Bhagwan is giving a guarantee that if you teach this knowledge of mine to others, you are guaranteed to go to Bhagwan. So what is this profound knowledge? As we have seen in the 18 chapters, this entire essence of life, how to live our life, how to follow paths towards not only making a better life here for myself, for society, and with love and right knowledge, how to go beyond this cycle of birth and death and to reach that supreme state of Godhood. So he says, this profound knowledge should be given to my devotees. which is true. If somebody is not devoted to Bhagwan, he's not going to even come. Or they say, if you come, then you should have devotion for God. Then the knowledge will benefit you. Devotion for God and devotion for the teacher. And what do they mean by bhakti? Bhakti, one, we think, okay, go to the temple and offer flowers, or I sit in my puja room and do aarti. That's very good. But true bhakti is identification. I am God and God are one, not any, because God is everything. He is everywhere. All the whole creation came from him. So just as mud is there in all the parts, gold is there in all the ornaments, God is there in this entire creation, because he is the cause and creation is the effect. So the mud cannot say, I'm separate from the pot. Or the jewelry cannot say, I'm separate from God, from gold. So I cannot say that I am separate from God. God alone is expressing not only as me, but as all animals, birds, plants, fish, humans, everything. So that is true bhakti, to identify with God. And when they mean that the teacher should teach with bhakti, what is meant is that sometimes some teachers, there is, say, a professor in the university, he's a Sanskrit teacher and he has to teach Bhagavad Gita as a part of the curriculum. You know, some of the universities had that. And so he starts by teaching as a job. You know, he says, this is my paycheck. If I teach, I will get paid at the end. So every week, every month, I'll get paid. And so he starts teaching as a profession, as a job. That I'm teaching Bhagavad Gita, but not for me. It is for the students to learn. But Bhagavan says that this knowledge is so profound and so powerful that even if in the beginning you don't have any devotion for God and for this knowledge, you say it is just for me to earn my living. You know, roti khane ka tarika hai. It is for my, you know, to take care of my wife and children. But slowly, as you go deeper and deeper and study, this knowledge is so powerful that you can't help it. Your mind will automatically go towards this knowledge. I remember when we first started these classes, I used to organize these classes. So I used to stand on one side and watch, and we used to invite Swamijis. That time, you know, I was not teaching much. We used to invite Swamijis. And so Swamijis would be talking to the students, and I would stand and watch, and I say, yeah, you know, this is very good. Students are understanding. Or there was one Swamiji who used to talk very high, who am I, and all. And I used to say, I don't think the students are. So I was standing as a witness. It was not for me. It was for everybody else in Bakersfield, whoever 10, 15, 20 used to come. And it's very strange that for a long time, I didn't think that this is for me. Really, I'm not joking. And then slowly, slowly, as you get in this knowledge, and then you realize that this is my own teaching, my own self for me. So that's what they're saying, that this knowledge ultimately will hold its effect on you. That's why Gurudev says spirituality is a one-way street, only entry. Once you start on this path is so fascinating, you don't feel like turning around. And it just takes over your, you know, it's so joyful. It is so fascinating. It's not that you don't do your other things, but then you realize that there is something more than earning a living, taking care of my family, and that is taking care of my spiritual self. See, in this BMI chart, with the body I perceive objects, with the mind I feel emotion, with the intellect I think thought. So I think myself to be this body, mind, and intellect, and V is my vasanas, but Om is God's presence. So instead of just taking care of body, mind, and intellect, I take care of my spiritual journey towards God. And God is not only in temple, church, or mosque, but is inside me as Om, as consciousness. So your life direction changes once you do that. And Gurudev says in his commentary that we are required to do that. We all have to say, but I'm not a teacher, I don't know Sanskrit. Doesn't matter, but wherever you are, it is our duty to spread this knowledge. Why? Because we have a rishi rin. We have a debt from our rishis who have given us this Bhagavad Gita Upanishads. So even though I may not be a scholar or teacher, but whoever I can teach this knowledge to my children or just spread this knowledge. I remember my parents used to buy the red Bhagavad Gita and whenever a couple would get married, they would give them, you know, Sagan money plus Gurudev's Bhagavad Gita, that you are getting married, hopefully you will read it, and whether they read or not, but every wedding they use. So doing like that, sharing this knowledge, giving it to others, you know, giving them Bhagavad Gita, giving them these books, or encouraging them to attend classes. So that is how, because this, our ancient culture needs to be nourished. What will happen otherwise, slowly, slowly, other forces, as we see, are becoming more powerful, where Hinduism is under, you know, under a lot of stress. There are a lot of, you know, conflicts happening. And so it is our duty to nourish this knowledge, not necessary for politics or for, but just for ourselves to nourish and to pass it on. And that's why also what some of you are doing, language classes, you know, teaching Tamil, Gujarati, and Hindi, and so on. And that is also good because you are passing on your culture to your children. So not only language, but also this spiritual knowledge should be passed on. That's why Puja Gurudev started Bal Vihar, where right from age 3 up to age 18, they have curriculum for all classes so that they may continue this study. And as they go into older classes, they study Bhagavad Gita and Hindu culture and so on. So it is our duty to nourish this culture, not let it die down and not let it become unimportant. And so that's why Bhagwan says, one who shares this knowledge of mine with others is most dear to me, and he will reach me alone. Me by me, he does not only mean Sri Krishna, but whoever your Ishta Devta is, whether it's Lord Shiva, Sri Rama, or Mother Saraswati, or Durga, they will come to me. And me, when he says me, he means the Supreme Consciousness, Brahman. Because Bhagavan Sri Krishna was nothing but a manifestation of that Supreme Consciousness. That's why they say he had all 16 colors. So all the qualities of the Supreme were there in Bhagavan Sri Krishna and manifested, and all of his avatars, whether it's Sri Rama or Narasimha Bhagavan, or they all come for a particular purpose, but they have that divinity in them. So it's not that one is superior to the other. So Bhagavan says, one who does this comes to me, becomes one with me, and ultimately merges with me in this life itself, or after death, he comes to me. Now he will say, but Bhagwan, right now you are saying that, you know, I am dear to you. But how about in the future? You know, will you forget me? Somebody may ask, Bhagwan, will you forget? No, Bhagwan says, no, never I will forget. So 69, chapter 18, number 69. Nacha tasman manushyeshu. Kashchin me priya krittamaha. Bhavita nacha me tasmat. Anyah priyataro bhuvi. Together, nacha tasman manushyeshu kashchin me priya krittamaha bhavita nacha me tasmat anya priyataro bhuvi. So he says, nacha tasmat manushyeshu. This person than him, tasmat, from than him or compared to him, manusheshu, in all beings, kaschit me priyakritama. There is nobody among the entire creation who is more dear to me than this teacher, than this guru who shares this knowledge. Close the door, please. So one who shares this knowledge of mine with my devotees, Bhagwan says, is the most dear to me. There is nobody in entire creation who is more dear to me than a teacher who shares this knowledge. Bhagwan himself is saying, he says that that person, not only he is dear to me now, kaschin me priyakritamaha, he's not only dear to me, bhavita na chame, and in the future also, tasmat, even in the future, there will be nobody greater, beloved of mine, than one who shares this knowledge. So he says, not only I love him now, but I will love him forever, and there will never be anybody more dear to me. Anya priyataro bhuvi. Bhuvi means in this earth, there will be nobody more dear to me than one who shares this knowledge. So he says he is the most dear to me, he reaches me, and not only that, in the future also, there will be nobody as dear as him. So Krittama, Priya Krittama means the supreme. You know, they say like good, better, best. So Priya Krittama, good, better, best. So he is the most dear to me. He is my beloved. And as we said, even in the future, never there will be anybody who I will love more. Why? Because they say that among all the dans, all the giving, you can give somebody food, give somebody many money, give somebody a job, give somebody land, you know, you can do a lot of things. But the greatest dan is vidya dan. Because once you give knowledge, then this person is able to himself practice this. One is you can just tell and go. But if you make sure that the person gets it, so, you know, they say you can teach, give a man fish, or if you teach him how to fish, then you don't need to be there. So similarly, this spiritual knowledge, when it is given to an individual, then the individual himself or herself will progress on this path. So that's why they say Vidya Dhyan is the greatest Dhyan. And that's what Bhagwan says. There is no greater gift you can give anybody than the gift of knowledge. I remember our children, you know, our middle son. One time he had graduated medical school, and we had, of course, paid for all his education and everything. And he had graduated and he had started his, you know, a residency program. So one day he comes and says, Mom and Dad, the best thing you did for us was take us to Bal Vihar. He really said that spontaneously. I mean, I never expected, you know, we paid for his education, for his food, and took care of him and nourished him through illness, all those things. All parents do that. But he spontaneously said, he said, that's the best thing you did for us, that you gave us this knowledge, because then it gives them strength to go through life, you know, because once you have this strength of knowledge, even for a child or for an adult, once who has this strength of knowledge that God is with me. In fact, today, our message for children is also that God is with you at all times. You are never away from God. So once you understand that, then you become strong and then you become courageous. Then world cannot affect you. And Bhagwan says, Jnani tu Atma, is my own self. One who knows this knowledge, who shares this knowledge, becomes me, is my Atma. And why this Gita is so special to Bhagwan? Of course, he has given it knowledge. Gita is the essence of the whole Upanishad teachings. And Bhagwan has made this Upanishads, which normally are very difficult to understand. On Tuesday, we are doing, some of you are attending the Upanishad class, and it is little more difficult to understand and to explain and to apply. But Bhagavad Gita is a very practical application of that same highest knowledge. Bhagavan has made it easy for us to understand and to apply in our life. So Bhagavan says, Gita me hridayam partha. He tells Arjuna, Gita is my heart. I have put my heart and my soul in this teaching, in these 18 chapters. And it is Bhagavan himself, with his own mouth, who has given it to us. What better teaching can there be? Of course, there are a lot of prophets and, you know, who have come and given us, you know, Bible and Quran and, you know, Ramayana and Mahabharata, and all teachers have come, different saints and scholars, and that is wonderful. You know, we're not saying. But here Bhagavan with his own mouth, you know, himself has given. So what better can it be? And as Hindus, it is our duty to not only understand and to live this knowledge. I first understand, then I live this knowledge. I make it part of my life and I share it with others to the best of my ability. Yes, you can give books or gifts or, you know, share this knowledge or, you know, get them recordings. You can do a lot of things. And a person may say, you know, I'm not a master. I'm not an expert. I really haven't studied this knowledge. And I don't know how to live it. So Bhagavan says, slowly, slowly, you will be able to live this knowledge as you come in touch with it. So how to live this knowledge reminds me of a story. So there were these three men who happened to die at around the same time. And so they go to heaven and Chitragupta is sitting there, you know, with his ledger and seeing, okay, or you know, in English they say Saint Peter. So Chitragupta, Bhagavan, is sitting there and he's saying, let me check what you have done. So one says, you know, I was a teacher and this was a girl. She said, I was a teacher and I worked in the worst of the neighborhoods, lot of slums, and the children used to come hungry and some of them have not eaten, not studied, and they were behind, and I tried my best to teach them. I even sometimes gave my own money for them for breakfast, or for they didn't have money to buy books. So Chitragupta says, you know, you have done a masterful job. There is nobody like you. Straight, you are admitted to heaven. Perfect. So she goes. Then this other man comes. He says, I was a physician and I also worked in the lowest neighborhoods, you know, the medical and the difficult patients. And some of them were real problem, but I struggled. And if they didn't have money, I saw them for free. And so Chitragupta says, oh, yeah, you are also passed. So third guy comes. He says, what did you do? He says, I was in an HMO, insurance company. You know, and I took care of a lot of patients. I was the, you know, like the coordinator for the HMO. So Chitragupta looks and says, you are only admitted for 5 days. Then you can go. So how we live our life doesn't only determine what happens here, but also happens in the afterlife. So Bhagavan says, don't only study it, but live it. So now the next one, a person says, you know what? I'm not a teacher. I'm not even a speaker. I don't know how to talk. I don't know how to explain. I don't know Sanskrit. It's very hard to teach. You know, I don't think I can be a teacher. I can't even pass on this knowledge. So do I have any chance, Bhagavan? You know, I'm not a teacher. I can't pass on it. Mera kuch hai chance lagta hai ki nahi? So Bhagavan says in shloka number 70, definitely you have a chance. Adhyeshyati chaya imam.
Adhyeshyati chaya imam.
Dharmyam samvadam avayoho.
Dharmyam samvadam avayoho.
Jnana yagnena tenaham.
Jnana yagnena tenaham.
Ishtasyamiti me matihi.
Ishtasyamiti me matihi.
So, adhyeshyate. Adhyeshyate is the future tense. Adhyayan means to study. That is in all languages, even in Hindi. In Gujarati also it is there, Adhyayan. So Adhyeshyate means one who studies. Adhyayan is not only reading or just listening, but study. There's a difference between reading and study. You may read a novel or a magazine, but your medical books you don't read, you study, or your engineering books or computer, you study them. So here he says, one who studies, not just mechanically reads, or theek hai, I heard it, you know, not like that. One who understands and studies it properly. So picks up a book and studies, or on the internet, or in, you know, YouTube, or however, or he goes to listen to lectures, goes to listen to these talks. So one who studies, adheshyate chaya imam. Imam means this dharmyam. Dharmyam means again the divine. Samvadam. Samvadam is dialogue. So this divine dialogue, avayoho, of the two of us. So who are the two? Bhagwan Shri Krishna and Arjun. Avayoho is those who are studying Sanskrit. Is Shashti Vibhakti Dvivachan. Sixth case, two. Of aham means of our two. So here it is said, one who studies this dialogue between the two of us. Between the two of us. Dialogue of the two of us. Belonging to the two of us that we have encountered. We have done this dialogue. What happens to such a person? Jnana Yajnena. By Jnana Yajna. What is Jnana Yajna? We'll talk about. Tena, by that individual. Aham, I, Ishtasyam. I get worshipped by that individual. Iti me matihi. That is my firm opinion. So Bhagwan says, you cannot teach, you cannot share, you cannot do anything, but even if you can study this knowledge, then you are worshipping me. Maybe you don't go to the temple and do puja, maybe you don't, but if you're sitting and studying Bhagavad Gita with devotion, that itself is my worship, is my puja. So that does not mean that you don't have to do puja. What it means is it becomes another form of puja. One is you go to the temple and offer flowers, or in your puja room you do prayer. But even at in that night before you go to bed, sit down and study this knowledge, that also becomes my worship. And it purifies our mind. By listening to this knowledge, our own mind becomes pure. And our intellect, our understanding becomes clear. So that's what we said. It should not be just reading, should be studying. And how does it benefit? So Bhagwan says, when you are studying, you automatically get dragged in. As we said, when you're teaching, you benefit even as a university professor. Even if you're studying, oh, just theek hai, I want to know Bhagavad Gita mein likha kya hai. You know, what is in Bhagavad Gita? Why people study it so much? Or I got it free, somebody gave me a gift, so I read it. But the more you study, you get dragged into this knowledge. You get dragged into this spiritual life and you automatically become closer to the truth, closer to God. You cannot help it. This knowledge is so profound that it is bound to have an effect. Just even sit and study every night for 15, 20 minutes, half an hour, it will change your life. We have Bhagavad Gita commentaries in the office by Swami Chinmayananda. So every night, even if you read two shlokas, you know, there are 700 shlokas in Bhagavad Gita. So two shlokas to read of that commentary, there are 18 volumes there in the office. It will take only about 20 minutes or so at night, you know, to read it. And just doing that for 20 minutes every night for 1 year, it will take 1 year. If you do two shlokas, takes 1 year. In 1 year, it will profoundly impact your life because this knowledge is so powerful, it's so rich knowledge with so much wisdom, so much culture, that this knowledge cannot but have an effect on you. And then Bhagwan says, he worships me with Jnana Yajna. What is Jnana Yajna? Actually, those of you who grew up in Bombay or had chance to listen to Swami Chinmayananda Puja Gurudev, he used to call his yajnas Jnana Yajna. So what he would do, I remember they would erect a pandal either in Shivaji Park or in Chapati or, you know, different places. And then there would be thousands of people there. And it would be like an 18 or 20 day. He used to call it Gita Jnana Yajna. And it would be in the evening for an hour or hour and a half. And so in about 18 or 20 days, he would do one chapter. But he would do it in a lot of detail, you know, 18 or 20 lectures. So, and of course, longer chapters would take a little more, shorter chapters would take less. So he used to call these sessions Gita Jnana Yajna. And I was blessed as a teenager. I had opportunity to attend some of those. My mother was close to Swami Chinmayananda and she used to take me to those lectures. And why does he call Jnana Yajna? This, it comes from this particular chapter. Gurudev got this name, Jnana Yajna. What is a yajna? Yajna is where you light a fire and then you offer, you know, homam, or you offer ghee or nuts, or, you know, all those ahutis you offer in the fire to purify the atmosphere. Like you have a building a new office, you do yajna. Or you have a child, or before a marriage, you know, you do all these. So these yajnas, offerings, are done to connect to the Lord. And fire is said to be the FedEx. Just as FedEx transfers overnight, so fire instantly transfers the prayers to whichever God. Say you are doing yajna for Bhagwan Vishnu, it will go to Bhagwan Vishnu. Or if you are doing for Lord Shiva, Abhishek, an offering in the fire, it will go to, of course, Shiva, we don't do fire, but any other gods, when you do fire or offer in the fire carries the prayers directly to that specific Lord. If you do it for Indra, or if you do it for Mother Lakshmi, or whatever, whichever God you worship. So when they say Jnana Yajna, Gurudev, what he meant was, and what Bhagavan Sri Krishna means, is that in that fire of knowledge, you throw your ignorance. See, we all had a lot of ignorance before we start studying Bhagavad Gita. So in the knowledge of Bhagavad Gita, you pour your ignorance and let it get burnt. So Jnana Yajna is the burning of my ignorance in the fire of knowledge. So that is why it is called Jnana Yajna. And studying this, when you do it with devotion, it is my own worship. As we said, you are worshiping me by studying. And what it should do, this knowledge should remove my ego. See, I have this ego that I am great, I am this, I am that. But I am a humble servant of Bhagwan, or I am a beloved of Bhagwan. See, there is a part of bhakti, they say, I love you, like Mirabai or like Yashoda Maiya, how they loved God, or Shabri. So you can worship God through love, or you can become God's humble instrument, that I am doing God's work, whatever I am doing, God is working through me, or through the path of knowledge. So in all those cases, my ego should go away. This idea that I am somebody special, or I am great, or I am separate from God. No, God alone is doing everything. I am just an instrument. I am just a humble servant. And God and I, we with love, we become one. So that's why Mirabai said, na mere to giridhar gopal dusara na koi, jaake sir mor mukut mero pati soi. My husband is not Rana, the king or the prince I married. My husband is Bhagavan Sri Krishna. So she totally identified, became one with, like Shabri, she used to taste the boras before giving it to Bhagavan, said, oh, I don't want him to get a sour, you know, bear. So that is love, that is identification. And Bhagavan Sri Ram had no problem eating those. So that is called ego should go away. The separation should go away. And then not only you should study, but they say even if you can't teach, discuss, you know, meet some people, have a study group and sit down and whatever each one has understood, discuss that, talk it over, and imbibe this teaching. The teaching should become so firmly embedded in you that nothing else is equal to that. Nothing else is more important than that. Of course, one has to take care of family, work, all those, medicine, engineering, law, all that, my house, whatever work I'm doing. But ultimately, that alone is most important thing to me. And I should understand this knowledge, make it my knowledge, and live it and apply it in my daily life. So Bhagavad Gita is not only for reading or for studying or for understanding. It is should change my life. That's why they say it's a manual of life. Just as when we buy a new car or, you know, any appliance, they have instruction manual, which most of us don't read. You know, we just put it aside and we say, I know how. But ideally, one should read. Or if you get stuck sometime and you say, you know what, I don't understand, especially cars are becoming so complicated. It's very hard to, you know, drive these without instruction. So Bhagavad Gita is an instruction manual, manual of life that teaches us how to live the life. So that's what they say. One should not only study it, but discuss it with other friends, maybe have a study group, and imbibe this knowledge, make this knowledge my knowledge. It's, right now, it is Bhagavan Sri Krishna's knowledge or Arjuna's knowledge or Puja Gurudev Swami Chinmayananda's knowledge. It should become my knowledge. I should understand as my knowledge, not a conversation, dialogue between Bhagavan Sri Krishna and Arjuna. Bhagavan Sri Krishna is talking to me. So through Bhagavad Gita, I am listening directly from God. So that understanding, it's not that, oh, 5,000 years ago, he spoke to Arjuna somewhere in the battlefield. How does it pertain to me? No, this knowledge is for me and I should apply that in my daily life. Now we'll go to the other one. He says, I don't even know how to study, you know. I don't know how to go on the internet. I'm not very computer savvy. And I can't sit and read. I may go neend aa jaati hai. No, I can't read. I get tired. I feel sleepy or I don't understand it, you know. What should I do? I'm not a scholar. I'm not a student. I'm not very studious. I find it very hard to read anything or study anything or apply anything. And, you know, I don't get it. So is there any chance for me? Bhagwan, mera kya hoga? So Bhagwan says, tere liye bhi hai. So in 71, he will talk about another group of people who neither can teach nor can study themselves. So what about them? So 71, chapter 18, shloka 71. Shraddhavananasuyascha Shrunuyadapi yonaraha Sopi mukta shubhan lokan Rapnuyat punya karmana.
I think it was almost over. That's Pandanet Bhagish. That's Pandanet Bhagish.
I was going to suggest if you don't have the book on your phone, you can find the shlokas to chant. Thank you. So we'll chant together. Shraddhavananasuyascha Shrunuyadapi yonaraha Sopi muktashubhan lokam Praknuyat punya karmana. So chapter 18, number 71, Shraddhavan. Shraddhavan means one who has faith. And what is Shraddha? We'll talk about it. Anasuya. Anasuya again means one who has no malice, has no negative feeling towards God, towards scriptures, towards Guru. Are ye sab sadhu to, you know, they're just roaming around and making money and all. He who has faith in God and faith in his Guru and has love for them. Shrunuyat, and one who listens with Shraddha, with faith, and without criticizing. If it is written in Bhagavad Gita, it is 100%. There is no, oh, I agree with this, I don't agree with this. It is does not mean you don't question or you don't, some things you don't understand. You can ask, you know, in the class or after the class. But once you have understood, then 100% it should become. So Shrunuyat, so one who listens, api also, yo naraha, this individual who listens to this knowledge with Shraddha, with faith, and without criticizing, saha api, he also mukta, he becomes free, he becomes liberated. So they say, you maybe some people can teach, some people can study, some people can share with others. If you can't do any of those, even if you can listen with faith, you become free, you become mukta, you get liberated from the cycle of birth and death. And shubhan lokan, and this very happy worlds, means of the heavens, prapnuyat, he will get. So not only his life here will be better, but he will get heaven. Punya karmanam. Punya karmanam means those who have done punya karmas, who have done good karmas, where do they go? To heaven. Their life here is better also, and they also go to heaven. So even one who listens to this either becomes free from cycle of birth and death, or he goes to heaven. So what is the difference between the two? We'll study that. So as we said, one who cannot study but listens with Shraddha, with faith. What is Shraddha? Shraddha is that something that I did not know, but when I hear it, I have faith. So who are the people I should have faith in? First of all, faith in God, because he is the one who revealed this knowledge. Faith in the Guru, in Puja Gurudev, who made this knowledge available to us. Faith in the scripture, in the book itself, whether it's Bhagavad Gita, Upanishads, Ramayana, Mahabharata, faith that this is all, you know, Ramayana is what? Bhagwan Sri Ram's life. What is Mahabharata? It is the life of, you know, Pandavas, Kauravas, and shows all the culture at that time. And there we see Bhagwan Sri Krishna and all these Bhishma, Pitama, all these great, you know, souls were there. So faith in God, faith in the scripture, faith in Guru, and then fourth is faith in myself. That if other people can get it, I also can get it. If I put the effort, I can also learn. So when you have faith in those, then with faith you should listen. Not only with faith you should listen, with faith you should read. With faith you should teach. So all the three, whether it's you're teaching this knowledge, whether you are studying on your own or you are listening, it should be done with Shraddha, with faith for God, and without malice. As we said, one should not criticize. If one doesn't understand, it's okay. But to criticize the Guru or God, there is no worse thing that we can do. So one should have complete faith in the Guru and listen with attention. See, one is hearing. You know, hearing is what goes in one ear, out the other ear. But listen is, my mind should be in it. And the mind is very important. Because that's why they say, when there is malice in my thinking, negativity, then the knowledge will not penetrate. The knowledge will be wasted. So when my mind is slowly purified with this knowledge, then my intellect will understand. So my mind, it becomes the obstacle. The intellect is the one that has to understand. So he says, one who listens with attention will definitely benefit. not only listen to this, say, think about it in the world. If you have heard some film song, you know, and you like it very much, some old ghazal or something, and you have heard it many times, what happens? That stays in your mind. Again and again it plays. You have listened to some nice song. Are bachpan mein, I know when I was young, I used to listen to this when I was in India. And suddenly you hear it played again, or somebody on you, on your WhatsApp will send you some old song. And you suddenly listen, hey, yeah, I remember this song. It was so nice. It was my youth. And I know I remember I used to go with my friends. So this now, even that you can keep on remembering. So think about this knowledge. It should be listened to in the same way, that it will eventually keep playing in your mind. And it should be digested. It should be absorbed and become part. Just as when you eat food, it becomes part of you, becomes one with you. So this knowledge of Bhagavad Gita should be digested. And such a person becomes free. What do we mean by free? He no longer goes through the cycle of birth and death. Once he has become one with God, become one with this divinity, then I don't no longer go have to go through cycle of birth and death, because I become one with that Om, with that consciousness. I think for those who came late, with the body I perceive objects, with the mind I feel emotions, with the intellect I think thoughts, V is vasanas, and Om is God's presence within us. So God is within us, so we become one with that God. And once you do that, then you are free from the cycle of birth and death. So such a person no longer has to go. But even if he does not get mukti, does not get liberation, what they call nirvana in Buddhism, what they call mukti or moksha, you know, moksha they say. But even if you don't, the fact that you have listened to this knowledge, imbibed this knowledge, shared it with others, you go to divine worlds. You go to the worlds of heavens and so on. And there you live your life, and then you continue your journey. Heaven is not the final goal. But if you have lived a good life, you have understood this knowledge, you have shared it, you go to heaven, you live for a while, enjoy the pleasures of heaven, and then you come back and continue your journey. Talking about heaven reminds me of a very beautiful story I heard. So there was this king, his name was Vipaschit. Vipaschit was his name. And he was a very, almost like a saintly king, even though he was a king. But he used to treat his subjects, his praja, as his own children. So he'll take, you know, care of them. He never built a huge palace. He lived in a small, comfortable palace. And whatever extra taxes he collected and all, he used to use that not for buying more gold and jewelry. He would say, this is public's money. It's not mine. And so he will give food. You know, if there's a drought, he will give them free seeds. And then he will build nice roads and dharamshalas. And all his whole life was spent in serving. And never lived a very royal life. Was a great king. And he's, you know, remembered. He's very famous. So when he died, Bhagwan Vishnu's dutas came, Vishnu dutas, and they said, sir, we are going to take you to Vaikuntha, to Vishnu Lok. He was a Vishnu Bhakta. So he said, you will go to Vaikuntha and you will live there for a long period of time. So he's traveling with them. He has dropped his body, the subtle body, the jiva is going. And then he says, you know what? Can I see the other place? You know, not heaven, but the other place. Don't you have another? They say, yeah, but sir, you don't want to go there. You know, there's a lot of suffering, a lot of problems in that place. We call it hell, but you don't want to. He said, no, I would just like to check it out. Let me go there and I'll just check it out and then we'll go to heaven. I'll don't mind living in heaven afterwards, but let me just see it. So Vishnu Dutas say, okay, you know, this person lived a good life. Okay, so they take him to hell. And he goes there. And he finds that people around him are all happy. He says, no, I didn't want to come to heaven. I want to go to the other place. They said, sir, this is the other place. So he said, but how is it that people around me are happy? I thought people here are suffering. They say, sir, normally they are suffering, but because you came, your karmas are so beautiful that people around you just by your presence are getting blessed. So he said, is that so? They say, yeah. So they say, okay, now you have seen, let us go to heaven. He said, I don't need to go anywhere. This is my heaven. Here also, he wanted to serve. He had no idea. So that is called, you know, true service, where even after death, he wants to take care of unfortunate people. So that's what they say, that such a person who remembers me and takes care of me and does my work, not only he gets free in this life, but even if he does not get mukti, does not get moksha, he comes to heaven, stays for a long period of time. And Bhagwan said in the sixth chapter, then I put him in the house of yogis. After he has spent a long amount of time in heaven, then I put him in the house of yogis where he can continue his journey. So that's what they say. Even if you can't study, even if you can't listen, if you can just organize, you know, help in organizing this Gita Yajnas and all. I remember when Gurudev used to organize, there used to be a lot of people to put it together, you know, to make the pandal and then to have the sound system and speakers set up and then chairs, tables. All volunteers used to come do it and then, you know, fundraising to pay for all that. So anyway, if you can help in spreading this knowledge and organizing, all of those will help you. That's why Bhagwan says in the Bhagavad Gita, Nahi kalyana krit kaschit durgatim partha gacchati. So kalyana krit, one who has done good deeds, never he will suffer, never he will go. So that's what say, even if one good deed you have done, you will get the result. And people like Pooja Gurudev, who started this mission and spread this knowledge to all of us, translated Bhagavad Gita, how much gratitude we owe to him. You know, he was a realized master. He could have just stayed in the Himalayas with his guru, but he traveled through the whole of India. In the beginning, met with a lot of opposition. Then he traveled throughout the world, set up centers like these. There are more than 300 centers. And even when he was in poor health, when he only had 10-15% ejection fraction left, ventricular function, he still traveled every week. He was in a new country, getting on the plane, jet lag, and none of that. Till his last breath, he was teaching. So that is called true service. And that's why Bhagwan says, even, of course, maybe not all of us cannot be like Pooja Gurudev, but wherever we are, that's why they have a saying. They said, you cannot be like the sun, but be like a lamp. Sun would be somebody like Pooja Gurudev or Swami Vivekananda or Ramakrishna Paramhansa, or, you know, Harsi Mehta or Sant Gyaneshwar or Jesus, you know, Buddha. So those are like the sun. They can illumine the whole world. But you and I, we don't have those qualities, but we can be a lamp, at least the illumine my neighborhood where I am. You know, share this knowledge. Like a lamp only can illumine one part, one small room. So if I cannot be like the sun, let me be like the lamp. So that's why Bhagwan says, one who does good never comes to any suffering, never comes to any, then I take care of him. So today we have studied the path of one who teaches this knowledge is blessed. One who studies this knowledge is blessed. One who even listens with faith and devotion is blessed. And it is our duty to share this knowledge, not just keep it to ourselves, because we have to pass on our culture to our children and to others. So it is our duty to protect this knowledge, to share it. So that's what we have studied today. Thank you very much. Next week, we will study what Arjuna, after studying what happened to Arjuna, and then what is Sanjay. As we said, Sanjay is the one who listened to this knowledge, how he reacts, what is his reaction. Actually, next week, we will not do the 18th chapter. Next week is parent-teacher meeting. So we will meet in the hall and I will do one or two other selected shlokas. Karmanya Vadika Raste, that's the one we will do. So we will meet in the main hall, not here. We will study Bhagavad Gita, but 11 to 12, we will study Gita and Sudhaji, Sudha Bhatt will also speak to us. And then from 12 to 12:30, the parents will go in the children's classroom and the children will come and sit in the hall and I'll talk to them about something, tell them a story and all that. So next week, it is 11 to 12 is the parents will be in the hall. And then 12 to 12:30, they will meet the teachers. And the children, 11 to 12, will be with the teacher and 12 to 12:30 will be in the hall. So next week, we will do chapter 2, shloka 47, Karmanya Vadika Raste Ma Faleshu Kadachan. Chapter 2, shloka 47. So please study that ahead if you have the commentary or even online. So we have about 10 minutes. Anybody has any questions, comments, anything?
Anilji, would you not be on Zoom?
It will be on Zoom.
This is Zoom, huh?
Yeah, next week will be on Zoom, yes. It will be in the main hall, but the talk will be on Zoom also.
Hello?
Yeah, we will do chapter 2, shloka 47. It will be on Zoom, yes. Same Zoom link. Yeah, thank you for asking that question, Umaji. Yeah. So yeah, you those who are on Zoom, we have quite a few today. So they can log in on Zoom. Better if you come in person, if you are in town, if you can. But those who are out of town definitely can attend on Zoom. Or if you are unable to come, then yeah, Zoom will be available next week also. So we won't cancel that. Thank you. Any other questions or comments? Yeah, Satish Bhai, anything?
Well, this is a what we call summary, but it's so profound that, you know, he doesn't leave us with any excuse.
Right.
You know, he's got results for every one of us.
Right.
I mean, no matter what state of mind or or situation you are in life, you know, there's no excuse.
Right, right. He said, if you can't teach, study. If you can't study, listen. And just share. Yeah, that is true. Yeah. So whoever, it's like whoever puts his hand in water is bound to get wet. So you put your hand in Gita, you are bound to get affected. And Bhagwan, yes.
Such a fair system he created.
Right. Right. Thank you. Yeah, that's so true. That everybody is blessed. Yes.
Is there a point where you eventually just give up? So you're saying you're immersing yourself in Gita. Trying to teach, trying to listen, trying to educate, trying to do something. But after a while, if it's not clicking, do you just keep trying and not give up? Or is there a point where it's like, okay, you know what, now you need to go to the help of a guru or someone else? Like, you're trying to do it for yourself.
Yeah, I think it's a very good question. He asked if the knowledge is not clicking in you, then what you should do. So I think, as you said, maybe find a guru who can explain it. If you are not able to understand it yourself. Or I think Bhagavad Gita is so easy to understand, to apply. All you need is the right teacher. Bhagavad Gita is very practical. A lot of these Upanishads are hard, you know, like we are doing Upanishad on Tuesday. Those are a little difficult. But Bhagavad Gita, once you put your mind to it, it will appeal to you. And because it has paths for all. It has the path of service, karma yoga. Say if you are a hard karma yogi, you want to serve the world. It is explained in 3rd chapter. If you are bhakta, if you are a devotee of God, 12th chapter is for you. If you are like to meditate, then 6th chapter is for you. If you are a dhyana yogi, you want knowledge, then that is throughout the Gita. 4th chapter, 5th chapter, 7th, 9th, everywhere knowledge is there. Or if you are devoted to the form of God, then that is in 10th and 11th chapter. 10th talks about how God is in everything. And then 11th, how everything is in God. So not all the chapters may appeal to you in the beginning, but you can find what path appeals to you and start with that. You know, maybe some people say start from first chapter, that is good. But you say, I want to know about Karma Yoga, then go to third chapter, how to serve. But then ultimately, you will find that this whole sequence is very, very beautiful. It will take you. And then in the beginning, somebody can even say, oh, I want a story. So they say, okay, study Ramayana, study Mahabharata. Ramayana also, even though it's a story of Sri Ram, is full of teachings. Sri Ram teaches Lakshman, Lakshman teaches somebody. Gurus all teach Yoga, Vashishta, and everybody. So there are various texts also. You can do Ramayana, you can do other, you know, simpler texts. But Bhagavad Gita to me is fairly simple. And then there are other even easier texts like Bhaj Govindam, which is in the office. It's a small book about how to develop detachment and how to connect with God. So there are a lot of texts Swamiji, Puja Gurudev, or his students have written, which we have in the office. But I think Bhagavad Gita to me should be fairly easy to understand, as long as you have the right teacher. And then you know, the commentaries there you can read. And if you have a question, I'll try my best to answer. So yeah, I think it should be. One should just stick with it, I feel. But yeah, you can get others' knowledge also, but don't run around too much. You know, one day Buddhism, one day Chinese philosophy, one day, you know, German. No, stick with Vedanta. I think that is the best. Thank you. Good question. Thank you. Anybody else from Zoom or from here? Lata, you have a question?
I don't have a question, but you just brought it up, Bhaj Govindam, and I discussed that actually one sentence I talked about last Thursday, and that the Gurudev has written, one of the greatest definitions of faith has been given to us by Saint Augustine when he says, faith is to believe what you do not see, and the reward of this faith is to see what you believe.
Right.
So you were discussing that.
Absolutely.
The last that with the faith we study actually, and put all that in the four types of faith, right? You just discussed in
yes.
The
yes, thank
in
you.
In the scriptures, in the guru, and
right.
Faith in yourself that you will with repeated hearing, with repeated practice, with repeated studying, that it will make my own knowledge.
Right. Thank you. That's answers the previous question. Just telling. Madhuben, you have a question?
Might be not with this 18th chapter, but karma. How do you collect karma? Like if you donate somebody to somebody with the good wishes, somebody pointed out to me that you're giving it for good reason. But if they don't use it as a good or might misused it, do I get that punishment karma?
No. It is your own intention. If you do it with good intention and you're doing it to help somebody, you get the good karma. Now, whatever that person does with that is his or her karma.
Because she said chapter 11 and 12, I need to read because it says about the karma. And so...
No, chapter 3 talks about karma and karma yoga. Karma yoga. Chapter 12 talks about bhakti. Who is the devotee? Who is my devotee? And devotee is not only one who goes to the temple and lights a candle, but he starts Adveshta Sarva Bhuta Nam Maitra Karuna. So my devotee, he does not hate anybody, is loving, compassionate. So yeah. So the third is about karma and karma yoga. But
thank you.
The 11th is where it's the Virat Roop, where Bhagwan shows the whole world in him. In Bhagwan Sri Krishna, Arjuna sees all the 14 worlds, including all the heavens, hells, and past, present, future. Everything he sees.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. I think we'll end here. So next week, we'll do chapter 2, shloka 47, and it will be in the main hall, and we will have it on Zoom. Om sarve bhavantu sukhinaha, sarve santu niramayaha, sarve bhadrani pasyantu, ma kashchit dukha bhag bhavet. Om shanti shanti shanti. Hari Om Shri Guru Pyo Namah.